Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And this is ZD Donahue.
And before we get started today, I just want to give a couple little shout outs here. The first is to Sandra. Sandra has ordered both of our Sew Here boxes. And she preferred to do so over the phone. So I've gotten to talk to Sandra on the phone a couple of times.
Wow.
And she says she listens to us every Friday. So, hello, Sandra.
Hey, Sandra.
It's good to have you with us. And then a second shout out to Karen. Thank you so much for the beignet mix.
Yes.
They were delightful. I am perfecting my beignet frying technique, and it's nice to be doing so with the Café du Monde beignet mix. So thank you for your...
And thanks for the little extra video you sent me.
Yes. We really appreciated it. Okay, so we got those little details out of the way. Today we want to do another little socabulary episode. We're going to discuss two different instances of sort of terms that are confusing or, shoot, have similar names, right? You know? okay, so the first one we want to talk about is ease versus easing. Okay, Mom, define ease for us.
Ease is, how am I going to define this? I should have, like, looked it up and tried to memorize it or something so I could be succinct. But ease is the amount of room you leave in a garment so that you can move in it.
Yep.
Okay? You know, so you can sit in a skirt. You can make a skirt that you cannot sit in.
Yes.
I'm sure everyone's probably already done that.
So,
or a blouse where you can't move your arms or something like that.
So picture yourself in a skirt made of non-stretchy fabric,
woven fabric,
and you try to sit in it,
right,
and you can't, or a shirt made of woven fabric where you try to bend your arm,
right, or lift your arm over your head or something like that, right?
So that's the ease in this case. Okay, it was built into the pattern.
Should be built into the pattern, right?
The pattern designer thought to themselves, "I'm going to design this woven skirt or shirt," and they said, "All right, in order for people to be able to move in my garment, I need to not just make it, you know, the size of their bodies, I have to make it bigger,"
right.
And if they are drafting a pattern, let's say they draft for a size 4, okay,
exactly,
and size 4 has a bust of, I don't know, I'm making up this number here, guys, so no one email and say, no, a size 4 is... Let's say that the fashion gods have decided that a size 4 has a 30-inch bust, okay?
That's really small.
I know. Okay, a size 2, whatever.
Anyway,
okay, but I'm trying to choose a round number.
Right.
They say, well, for the size 4, you know, people to be able to move and stuff in my shirt, I'm going to put, you know, 2.5 inches of ease across this baby's chest.
Right.
And that ease, it would be incorporated into the bodice of the shirt.
That's right?
Incorporated into all of the waist and hip measurements of the skirt.
Right.
There's ease in, like we said, sleeves.
Right.
So the noun ease, it refers to that.
That's right.
Right? And this is all taken into account when the designer is designing the pattern. So we had somebody, we were discussing this in the group. Somebody says, oh, could you include a chart of like the standard amount of ease that people add in? And I'm like, you know, there's not just
I'm sure that there is some chart out there somebody's made.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
It would be something I would be very hesitant to trust.
When 100%. I used to make myself a fitted skirt, say, like a pencil skirt, I had less ease in my waist, than I had in my hips.
Sure.
So in my waist, I might have had like 1.5 inches, but in my hips, I may have put like 2, 2.5 inches, something like that. And I'm not a very big person.
Right.
Okay. So my hips are like 35 inches.
Right.
So say somebody's hips are 45 inches.
Right.
And I'm saying I put 2 inches of ease in there.
Yes.
Somebody with a 45-inch hip versus a 35, they might put 3 or 4 inches in there. So it's more like a percentage.
Right.
And another thing it has to do with, too, and no one take offense to this, depends on how hard your body is.
Oh.
Some of us have flowing bodies.
Yes.
And some of us have hard, and some of us have, like, maybe a flowing waist, but a tight butt.
No, I am having this, right. When your mom's developing this leggings class, right. And testing out a bunch of leggings for me, and we're noticing, okay, my stomach, like as of right now in January of 2017, is, I mean,
we would call it gushy.
I don't mean to gross anybody out, but like it's almost the texture of like bread dough that's been kneaded. Like I touch my skin,
yeah.
And if I'm laying down and I like put my fingers on my skin, it sinks very easily. Like it's very malleable.
So here's
okay. So I just want to say that I'm like, you know, I want these a little tighter because. Just that part of my body at this moment in time, or just for me.
And you want that tighter because it's a knit and it has spandex in it versus a woven.
And that waist part, like you said about your skirt, the waist of the leggings or the waist of the skirt is like going to hold it on your body, right? We don't want it to skim over our waist in this.
Well, and it is funny because the more malleable you are, the more ease you need, which sounds wrong.
Sure.
Because, like, okay, if my waist is squishy,
say
my waist is, you know, 30 inches, and it's squishy, I could probably get a 30-inch woven waistband around it. Now, I'm going to wind up with those, like, little tires or muffin tops or whatever around it.
And you're going to be uncomfortable.
Well, I am. Yeah. Well, it depends. Maybe. It just depends on how gushy you are, you know.
Sure.
Or what.
Or hard or whatever.
Now, if I'm hard as a rock at my waist, I wish. You know, it's really the other way around. I can take a tighter, a more fitted thing on my waist if it's tight, because my waist isn't going to change and move and morph as I morph.
So this is all dependent on, you know, you might choose a size. You might have like the exact same body measurements as another person, but prefer a different size. This is one reason I enjoy a pattern that includes the sizing chart and also the finished measurements.
Right. A lot of patterns will have the finished measurements written on them. Now, you can take them yourself.
Yeah.
But I, you know, even when they're written on there, I never believe them. I always take them myself, too. It's kind of funny.
And with, we talked about this in the ginger jeans. I did a video on it in the self-sewn wardrobe about looking at the sizing chart, then looking at the finished garment measurements. And then I think this is what you are trying to talk about, and I keep interrupting you. That pattern is made of a stretchy fabric,
right?
And it has negative ease,
yes,
for some,
right?
For the
hips. That's what your things like leggings and whatever we talk about, a negative ease.
Mm-hmm.
So if my hips are 35, maybe I'm making a 33-inch hip because I want it to be a little snug and I want it to be close to my body,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah. So that's dependent on the fabric. So when people, this is something I think is so important for people to understand as they go to start to make clothes.
Right.
That the clothes, the pattern you bought, it was designed for a specific fabric, not just like because it looks nice, but that's like how the pattern was designed. You need to keep that in mind.
So not only is the ease there, but also maybe a draping factor or a flowing factor. So another thing about ease is what kind of not only what kind of fabric, but what type of garment. Is it a close-fitting garment?
Is it a coat?
Is it a semi-fitted garment, you know, or is it a loose garment? Because there's garments that fit you like at the shoulders and then just flow.
And
so, you know, I'm not worried about ease if I have on this, you know,
flowy top.
This flowy baby doll dress. I'm worried about it fitting my shoulders only.
The other thing is, even though a garment may cover the same part of the body similarly, it doesn't mean that those garments are drafted the same. What I'm trying to say here is...
Yeah, what is she saying?
What the heck am I saying?
Okay, somebody out there must be lost like me, so explain that.
Well, this is to help people not get lost, okay? Right. I had a person who was like, I'm going to use this yoga legging pattern to make stretch jeans, okay?
Ooh.
Now, when we look at a picture of somebody in yoga pants, right? It's a fitted pair of pants from their waist to their ankle.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I want a pair of jeans that fits me from my waist to my ankle. But the big deal here is.
Right.
They are drafted for those very different types of fabrics. So she said, I'm just going to go up a few sizes in the yoga pant. And I'm like, you follow such a different process.
Right. It's
for
a different
drafting
thing,
a pair.
Right?
Do you understand what I meant now, Mom?
Does it
make sense?
I don't know what that sentence she said meant, but I understand this part.
Okay, the yoga pants and the jeans, they're covering the same part of the body, but they're
a different
garment.
It's just like, you know, slacks. The crotch has dropped a little bit, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has to be. If it's non-stretch and you have a slack that has a straight leg, say, or a stovepipe leg or whatever, you know, a style leg, you don't have that crotch right up in there where the baby comes out.
I also, what did one of our group members say? She doesn't have children. She said, where the water comes out. We just like to be a little more shocking and say, you know.
Whatever you want to call it. We can call it the sit bones, whatever.
Talking about a crotch drop.
Right.
Okay. So I had a customer come in who was making ginger jeans, and they're a man. And I thought, you know, this is going to be different. Like, because there is
junk
genitalia there
yep.
right? That, like, this pattern wasn't drafted for.
For man junk, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's just like, okay, you know, we're gonna work with the rise
and
everything here. And actually what this person did, which was super duper smart, was brought in a pair of jeans that he liked.
That he liked.
That he was wearing. And I was like, oh, this is perfect because you enjoy the way these, you know, feel and everything. And he put those on and we measured, did some, anyway, measuring. But it's just something you got to keep in mind.
Well,
you know?
Also sometimes with men, don't anybody freak out, but there's a left wear and a right wear, depending if they do it on one side of the, they like adjust things to one side of the seam versus the other side.
Also, Sam and I talk about how our husbands and my
do we want to know this?
My,
I don't think I want to know this.
No,
I'm not going to listen to this part.
I'm not talking about
anyone else that doesn't want to hear this. You can just close your ears for like, you know, 15 seconds.
I'm not talking about junk anymore, but we talk about how our husbands wear their pants under their bellies.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were talking, Sam and I were talking, and I guess my husband, I don't ask his permission to talk about these things. Sam, I hope Spence doesn't mind, but anyway.
Do they listen to this? That's
like,
the other thing.
We're like, they need low-rise pants because they want to wear their
They want to wear them under, yeah.
their belly.
And my husband doesn't have a belly.
Right, right. No, and,
right.
and neither does Becca. So they can wear their pants wherever, but they wear their pants
but
low.
But the problem with that is their hips and their waist are the same size,
no,
too.
No, here's the problem. Here's the problem that Sam and I face with our
husband. Oh, you have the crotch rip.
Yeah, then their crotch rides even lower, and then they rip out their crotch.
Because there's too much stress on their crotch.
Yeah, Derek's
you need a diamond shape. Crotch.
He
in there.
Already
yeah.
has pants with a diamond shaped crotch.
Work.
Derek, I'm just talking about my husband right now. Okay, he rips out the crotch in his pants all the time. You know what? You know what I told him to do too. Okay, is not to dry his like 98% cotton pants anymore.
Yeah, right.
I was like, you know, these are shrinking
wearing
up. I can see that they're getting shorter
right,
on you.
Right.
I think that the ease that was allowed. For you to squat and stuff
is slowly going away,
you know.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I said, you got to stop drying these pants. So also, they're expensive pants. He spends like $80
well,
on these.
Well, especially if they have a diamond crotch.
Yeah,
I bet.
No, they're very well made. It's just, you know, they're not well made enough that when he squats down and they're like at his thighs, you know, they're not
split. Well, he's putting stress where it shouldn't be.
Exactly.
Right.
So I'm going to make him pair hip huggers maybe. That is
maybe he needs a maternity panel.
Or a stretch gusset.
You know,
I
was going to say, or if you could get him into yoga pants,
there you go.
It could be working.
There you go.
Yeah.
So let's talk. We talked about ease. This was all about ease. We mentioned negative ease.
Right.
I think we did a pretty good job discussing that. Okay?
But we didn't talk about
So now we're going to talk about easing.
Easing is a verb.
Yes. Or the word ease is a verb. Like ease that sleeve into the arm side.
Exactly.
Sir? Okay. No, like as a command, right? Okay. So to ease as a verb, what does that mean, Mom?
Well, what it usually means is that you have a, you know, two pattern pieces, and one is where you're going to put them together, one side is going to be a little bit larger than the other. And the reason, a lot of times the reason is to give ease in the garment.
Yes,
or give room in the garment.
To further confuse the issue.
Right, you want to like really confuse this. But I mean, that is one of, or, you know, it has to go around a certain body shape or something, or, you know, with the, like you were talking about the sleeve.
Yeah.
You know, there's no mystery to drafting a sleeve, really.
Right.
Because
Don't tell people that, Mom. How are we going to make any
money? Because there is no way to draft a sleeve absolutely perfectly. A lot of it is art. Mm-hmm. It is the art and, you know, like an acquired skill. There's no good mathematical, you know, curve to this or anything.
Right.
So you ease in that sleeve. Yeah. That's why I like knit sleeves a whole lot.
They'll just go in.
I can get it.
I love it when and we haven't done a video on this, but I've done this a couple times recently. We're doing it in our serger workshop. I'm like, I'm just going to cut out this fake sleeve pattern and this fake bodice. And I said, and I didn't measure anything.
That's
I don't know if these are supposed to go together, and I'll make it
fit. You can make it fit.
And
you
they're
can.
Like, oh. But, and it looks nice.
But, and that's easing. And knit easing is easier. You know, my full bust measurement on a t-shirt is very similar to that. Your front panel for a full bust adjustment, when I make a t-shirt, your front panel, the side seam in the front is actually longer.
Yeah.
But you don't, I mean, once it's put together, you don't see that.
So when you ease something together, mm-hmm. you're really showing the fabric who's boss.
Right.
There's oftentimes some kind of notch or...
Right. There's gonna be a measurement somehow, a notch, a marking as to... Yep. ease between this point and this point. And sometimes it might be a gather. It doesn't mean it's coming out smooth.
That's true.
You know, there might be, you might have an instruction that says gather between these two points. So it's not the whole, you know, piece that gets gathered. Maybe it just gets gathered, you know, between two certain notches. Maybe it's like over the bust or something.
So this is another thing I guess I like to talk about ginger jeans. It is available on our website if you want to buy the pattern and the denim. Anyway.
And Mallory has a lot of videos about it, too.
Yeah, we just talk about these pants a lot. Everybody wears jeans, I guess. And there's a place where you ease on the ginger jeans, right? And on the out seam, it's a place between the hip and the knee.
Yes.
And then on the inseam, it's a place, it's between the knee and the crotch. And what's going on there is the back pant leg has is a bigger piece.
It's more fabric.
And there's more fabric back there than the front.
Right.
Okay. So when Sam was basting her first pair together, she put them on and she's like, you know, they look pretty good, you know. And she's like, but I can't, like, I don't know if I can squat down on these. And she squatted and she said, these are real tight.
Right.
And we're like, oh, I don't know. And then someone else in our early stages of playing around with these, they were like, my back hem. Okay, on the leg.
So the legs didn't match up at
it
the
was
end
like an inch,
at the end of the seam.
Yeah, it was like an inch longer. And I'm like, people, you have to ease here. There are these markings. Anyway, both those people re-sewed their pants and they fit so much better.
Right.
And so anyway, you must pay attention to these things.
That's right.
And then I think
you really should read your fabric pattern instructions. In fact, you should read all the way through them before you put the together. Don't like sit down and anticipate that you know what's going to happen.
And Heather, who designed the ginger jeans, has a great sew along.
Right.
I think one thing on this pattern, this little notch, it lines up with the length
with
and
another
shorten
something
line,
yeah.
And it confuses people.
So people miss it. But if you read through it, you might have caught it.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And so if it's not familiar to you, and this, I think this is Sam's first pair of pants, you know, she just going for it. So, but it fixed a lot of issues with people.
But when people don't understand these things and then they go ahead and sew and they can't figure out why it did, this is what frustrates people and keeps them from making those garments that really do fit them better than anything else they can get. The other thing I wanted to bring up, Mallory, is sleeves, because we've had a lot of talk about sleeves how sleeves are tight at the elbow, or, you know, I want to taper my sleeve more. Most sleeves in a woven fabric, you're going to have some ease around the elbow, a dart around the elbow, or you're going to have like a pleat at
There's
the cuff or something.
Or
you're going to have
cuffs,
to, you know.
Let's just say it, Mom. Noah, don't take up your sleeves too
much.
We love you,
Noah.
Noah,
the over-altered What do we call him?
I don't know.
The vicious altering person.
I'm over enthusiastic.
Yeah, over enthusiastic alter.
I love it that Noah said this, because I've been there, Noah. And I didn't say this in the group to you, but Noah's working on a woven shirt and making sure that everything, you know, fits nicely. And a couple of times gotten a little over enthusiastic and made it a little tight in places. And then he realized that. He said, you know, I try to overdo it a little bit.
That's
and
right.
I was like,
right.
How cool to recognize.
Yeah,
that
one day Mallory just said, stop.
Yeah, stop. I said, you, sir, have a very nicely fitting shirt. Okay. And you know, you got it. But it is, when you're making clothing for yourself, right, you want it to fit.
Right.
So I think you are sometimes a little hypersensitive.
Right.
And you don't, no one's like, I'm going to make this woven shirt so I can look like a big like balloon in it.
Right.
And that's sometimes.
So I can look like a stuffed shirt.
Right. And so that's why sometimes I think people want to take that ease out of the sleeves because it looks pretty big.
Right. But if you want a real fitted, you know, sleeve fitted like your skin, it's going to have some lycra in it.
Yeah, exactly. But Noah did a good thing. I said, just stop, just make it, see how you like it. Your arm, and I'm not a nurse or like a physical whatever person, like physical therapist or anything, but like your arm is one of your limbs that has the most range of motion, right? Like you can put it in front of and behind your body, and has an elbow.
You could do lots of stuff with it. Yes.
So I'm lassoing right now. Okay, picture that range of motion. Okay, so you want that woven fabric to do that. So
and you use your arms to a great extent all the time,
and they can go over your head. It's much more range of motion than like your leg, even
depending on what you do with your legs.
Okay, right, Mom. Talking to me about not saying weird.
Well, no, I like move furniture with my legs because they're stronger than my arms.
Well, you talked about sleeves, woven sleeves,
right,
and how they need ease in them. Okay. And then I want to talk about, we mentioned a bit about knit sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
We had somebody in the group post a picture. She's like, I don't know, the sleeve cap and the arm side of this knit t-shirt, they like don't match up. And what she was doing was she had it very smartly pinned at the shoulder seam, you know, with her notch, right?
Right.
And then down at the side seam.
Right.
And she was trying to match it up physically just to, like, think it out before she got to her machine.
Right.
And ZD and I were both just like, no, just get to
Don't
your
think
machine
about it,
and
just
make
do it,
it work, you know? Get to your machine and show that knit who's boss. And once you get those first few stitches stitched in, maybe you're starting at your side seam, then, I mean, really, you, like, stretch it into shape,
it just and it works. It honestly
stretch
works.
It so that those raw edges, don't overstretch, of course. Okay, don't be silly. But make the raw edges line up.
Right.
And make your notches line up.
And that's it.
Yep.
And the rest is ease and maneuvering.
And if you're using a fabric that the pattern recommended, you make sure to use one with the appropriate stretch. It should work. So
that's right.
Anyway, that's ease and easing. And for those of you who enjoy super long podcasts, you are in for a treat because we're going to go for a message break and come back and discuss ruffles and flounces.
Hey, Mal.
Hey, Mom.
I heard you were easy.
Oh, no.
What does that mean?
No, it means what you really heard was, well, Mallory, your easy tea looks so good on you.
I should have known that it was something about something you made.
Like you said, you're getting into your golden years. Sometimes... you know, mishearing things. It happens.
No, you're the one that mishears things. I know this. You make lapel pins about it.
Okay. So I am currently wearing an easy tee and I wear them all the time. The easy tee is a semi-fitted short sleeve t-shirt made out of a woven fabric. And you draft the easy tee to fit your measurements by taking the Easy Tea class.
Well, how do I take this class?
It's an online class that you can watch anytime on SewHere.com. To purchase the class, go to SewHere.com/EasyTea. That's just EASYT.
Is this on my computer?
It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. The class is divided up into short, easily consumable segments, some of which you may not ever need to watch ever again, but some of which you might want to revisit. So you have the ability to mark lessons as completed and also to star lessons so you can go back and revisit the ones that are most important to you.
And I can vouch, Mallory's easy tea is a lot easier than Mallory is.
Once again, go to SewHere.com/EasyTea to begin your pattern drafting journey.
Sewing out loud. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now we are back. Mallory, how did you learn about flounces versus ruffles?
Well, late one night, I think I was like 13. I just remember I have like a teenager.
You were that old, huh? Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I have like a teenager.
You know, you have one sister that thinks
memory.
You're still 13.
She thinks I'm five.
No, eight.
Yeah, five.
She went away to college when you were eight, and then when she came home and you were like getting married and having babies and stuff, she goes, "Now we can have a baby." She's eight.
Yeah. No, I'll just say that I feel like this was during teenager times, and if you have a teenager or you are a teenager or had a teenager, you know,
teenaging can be rough.
Sometimes it's hard to be a teenager, to be the mom of a teenager, right? And I just remember us having this, like, moment of connection at
flouncing?
Yes, at the island in our kitchen. And it was, like, really cool. And so I just remember being like, oh, my mom's cool. And I don't know what stupid thing I'd done that day. Who knows? Anyway, so I don't know why I asked about it.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't either.
Why I asked about it. But you were like, now, a ruffle and a flounce are different, and you drew me a little picture on a piece of paper about how a ruffle is just a long strip of fabric that's gathered up,
right?
And then you're like, a flounce is a curved piece of fabric that gets sewn in and straightened as it's sewn in, and then you just get this look. You know, I might have been older because I think maybe I was costuming something.
Oh, maybe you were.
So I think
maybe you were 16-ish or something.
Even harder. It's what I'm trying to say. Okay, so Mom, you want to talk about the shape of a ruffle versus the shape of a flounce a little more in depth than I just did?
Well, generally the shape of a ruffle is just a strip of fabric, however long, you know, however deep you want this ruffle to be.
Yeah.
And it's added onto, you know, another straight piece of fabric. The difference is the ruffle is going to be longer. There will be more fabric. And you take this ruffle and you gather it up and then you attach it to that straight stable piece, right? So if I had a skirt, do I put it on the hem of my skirt or whatever? You know, it would go around the circumference of my skirt, but that ruffle would have had probably 2 to 2.5 times the length of fabric as the circumference of my skirt.
So let's say the circumference of your skirt was 40 inches. You might have cut 80
or knowing me, 90. Yeah.
90 inches
That's
worth
right.
of fabric.
That's
this
right.
This is such a better explanation than I said. So a flounce, on the other hand, of course it's perfect. Okay, so a flounce, on the other hand, the part of the flounce that attaches to, say, your neckline or your bottom of your skirt, or sometimes on like ballroom garments, you know, they're just like sewn into that. It is the same length as that seam,
but it's curved.
It's curved.
So when you go and you take that curve, and the curve is on a bias, so it's not going to be hard to take this curved side. Let's get this straight. Anytime you cut a curve, you wind up on the bias, right? Because you've gone off the straight.
Yeah.
Well, you just don't stay on the straight of grain long enough for it to be on the straight of grain. So you have cut a curve. So say I know the neck of my blouse is 26 inches, right? And so I have to draw a curve that is 26 inches.
What might you use to draw a curve and make sure it's the right length?
Well, here's what I would really do. Well, I mean, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But what I would really do if I was making a pattern piece, right, is I would cut that circle that fit around my neck. Okay. And say I want the flounce to be 2.5 inches.
Right.
So I'll make this circle. The inner circle will be the circumference of my neckband, right? which is going to be 26, 28. I don't remember what I said. Okay. I'm thinking about, like, I can pull it over my head for some reason. So say it's 26 inches, right? And then out from that circle, I will measure 3 inches all the way around. So I have, like, a big donut.
Right.
Right? Then I will clip that someplace.
The outer edges.
Well, I will clip it, like, so it comes apart.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then I will start clipping maybe every 1 to 2 inches, right? Almost up to that center circle. So I'm clipping, this is a paper pattern, I'm clipping out from the outer edge up to the inner circle, right? And then I can lay that down and it becomes flat, right?
Right.
Flat but curved.
Right.
Right?
So you just have this, like, almost like a swirl looking pattern piece that you can smooth out. And obviously that should take a video.
Right.
But that inner part, what you've preserved, is that it's equal to the neckline.
Right. And what's happened is that outer curve is much greater than the circle that was only 3 inches away from the inner circumference. So you get a ripple.
Yep.
Gosh, so does that make any sense to anybody?
You get a smooth join.
Right.
There is no easing to be done.
No easing.
It should fit right on there.
Right.
Yeah, it should fit right on there. And you know what we talked about? Karen, I'll try to find this Facebook post. Karen, who sent us the beignet mix, she posted a picture.
Beignet Karen.
Yes. Nolan's Karen. She posted a picture of a weather girl, weather woman.
Right.
Meteorologist. Wearing a very stylish dress. And she's like, oh, I want to make something like this with these ruffles. And I was like, well, those are actually flounces.
That's right.
And we should do that a podcast on it. And she was like, oh, great. You know, so I thought that that was cool.
So here's the one thing that you really want to know, too, especially when you are styling something, right, is the gather will a lot of times add volume.
Right.
So it adds more volume. So, you know, I mean, if I gather across the top of my bust, say my high bust, I'll have room for my, you know, boobs to fit in there or something, right? You know, I mean, it's adding volume. A flounce does not always add volume, okay? Or not a volume that you might expect. Because it's on the bias, it hangs.
Lays
and
so
it
nicely.
Flows. So it's a soft, flowy thing.
I hate
thing.
To say it's always a more tailored look, like that. Of course, you can, like, have a million flounces.
Well, see, sometimes
and,
I think,
know,
it, yeah, yeah.
Right, you
right,
know,
right.
It just depends on how you're doing it. But you talk about this all the time. A peplum is, like, a big flounce.
Yeah. Now, a peplum can also be gathered.
It
but,
can.
Right, right,
if
right.
you think about a lot of, I feel like most
but
of
you
them
have to
I've
be
seen.
Careful that a peplum doesn't turn into a ruffle.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And the other thing is, really, if you're having trouble visualizing what Mom talked about, okay, here's something. Imagine that you're wanting to draft, like, look, imagine a skirt pattern, a flat pattern piece, okay? It kind of looks like a triangle,
right?
You know, it's narrow at one side and bigger at the other. And then that sort of, like, makes this bell shape, you know? A flounce is, like, the same, you know, concept, but it's a lot more,
well,
okay?
Here's my deal. There's basically sort of, you know, two types of full skirts in the world, I guess. Well, there's gourd skirt. But anyway, I can compare these to two skirts. There's a gathered skirt where you gather it into the waistband.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a circle skirt.
Yeah.
So what you know about a circle skirt, which is what your, like, 1950s poodle skirt is, right, is that that waist, it lays flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's flat to that waistband. And then you wind up with all this volume. Right.
Just because the hem is so much bigger, so much longer, that measurement is so much longer around than the waist. Yeah, so if you were having trouble, we should do a video on this, but also that, that's the perfect.
So anyway, you know, I mean, that
comparison.
To me, because that, the gathered skirt is very specific, you know, very gathered, and that circle skirt is a more flow.
Okay, before anybody's like, I've made a gathered circle skirt. Of course.
Yeah. That can happen too.
Good.
You could also make a circle skirt using gourds. I mean, there's
you
can also make a gourd skirt using more gourds.
Or
I mean,
you can make a circle skirt that isn't gathered that you put an elastic waistband in, and then it looks gathered when you put it on,
right?
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. everybody. Okay, so
we're talking basic here. Basic shapes. We're trying to get
so ruffles versus right. flounces and ease versus easing. Do you have anything else to add?
There is one more thing I want to add because people will come in and say, "Oh, I want a ruffler." Right?
Ah, yes.
I'm making da da da. I heard if I now there's a ruffle foot, there's a ruffling foot. Okay, and there's a ruffling foot on a serger or a. Sometimes it's called a puffing foot, mm-hmm. so everybody knows, okay? Mm-hmm. And then there is a ruffler attachment for your sewing machine. Okay, so a ruffle foot or a puffing foot, P-U-F-F-I-N-G, mm-hmm. it works with the feed dogs on your machine. And what it will do is you, when you're putting two pieces of fabric together, it will ruffle up one piece or gather up one piece and attach it to the flat piece, okay, by means of how the foot works.
Yeah, what those feet do is they, like, have two strips of metal almost right. that run parallel to the feed right. dogs. And you manipulate, like, on your serger, you'd manipulate the differential feed.
Right.
On your sewing machine, you mess with tension adjustments and stitch length and stuff.
I think it's mostly stitch length, actually, so but whatever. You, yeah.
I think
I don't know.
I don't like using one because maybe mess the tension. Right, anyway, right. and that gathering foot or the ruffling foot on the
or
on
the puffing foot,
or the puffing
right.
foot on the sewing machine also has like two slots,
right?
So that the bottom one gets gathered and
right.
the top
and
one
the
gets
top
to
one
stay straight.
Gets to stay straight.
So you can gather up a piece of fabric on your sewing machine with your normal foot,
right?
And you can gather up a normal piece of fabric on your serger with your normal foot,
right?
But then if you want to put two together,
right.
one straight, one gathered.
Now,
that's where those feet come in.
The thing about that is there's no way to like truly measure that and know that that's, you know, you measure, you know, three times the length and that comes out perfectly.
You ain't never going to know.
You don't know. You test it
yes.
so that you come out with something you kind of like.
Yes.
But, you know, and there's applications because, you know, that you take that those pieces you put together and then cut your pattern
right,
out of that.
Right.
Okay. The other thing is a ruffler.
Yes.
And this is a big thing. It looks like a can opener, the head of a can opener.
It does.
That you put on your standard
it's
sewing machine.
It's got like places to do numbers. It might have a place in the back where you adjust
right.
for the position of the foot. And
right.
Then when
so you adjust how many times the what it actually is a pleater.
Yeah, let's just say
it's
that.
It's really
first,
not
yeah.
a ruffler.
There you go.
I mean, that's what it gets called,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you buy is a ruffler. But it's really
a pleater.
Because there's a mechanism that is attached to your needle bar when you put this you put it on where like kind of like your standard foot, and you will usually have to screw it on. There's no snap-on ruffler foot.
Actually, there are.
Are there now?
Yes,
okay.
there are. Yeah.
But anyway, so you can. There's a little dial where it decides which stitches will it pleat every stitch or every third stitch or every fourth or whatever, 12th, I don't know what it is. Then there's also a place that lets you decide how deep that pleat goes.
Yeah.
And then the other adjustment that goes along with that is what size stitch are you, what length of stitch are you going? So
right.
you have all of those variables. So if you do that and you make a pleated ruffle like this, you need to write all that stuff down if you want to repeat it.
If you want to do it again.
If you want it to be exactly the same.
Yeah, just so the reason we're bringing that up is the pleated ruffles that you get from this foot, they look a lot different than gathered
right.
ruffles. And they're, like, we love the ruffler
yeah.
foot.
And they're real common, like, in home deck.
Yeah.
That's what I think of.
They are different.
Right.
The fabric is just folded at these, obviously, these regular
right.
intervals that you set with all the settings
so
that mom said.
So it's tucked and folded and sewn down. Tucked mm-hmm. and folded and sewn down. And
it's
that's
not,
what happens.
It's not just a bunch of fabric, like, you know.
And it sounds like tick, 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 tick. Tick, tick.
Or tick, 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 tick,
that's
tick,
right.
Tick, depending on your settings, right? Okay, depending on how you set it. But that's a really good thing to bring up. I'm a much bigger fan of the ruffling attachment, that foot that goes tick, 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 tick.
Right.
I use that more than I use the gathering
okay. so,
foot on the sewing machine.
But
that's just my personal
say
use.
I'm going to gather yards and yards and yards of that wonderful fabric tool.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a way I might do that very easily on my sewing machine. Memory.
I'd zigzag over some pearl cotton.
Yep.
And you can actually gather it. If you can look up videos of people who make tutus,
uh-huh.
and they actually pull on the pearl
as
or on the cord.
No, as you're sewing, you can do
whatever
it. Right.
So everybody's like, ooh, you're making the ruffle like while you're doing it. And yes, you. So
you are, because you're pulling on the thread as you go.
So there are lots of ways to make ruffles. And right. That would be another podcast. But yeah, do you have anything else to say about these?
I hope I've covered it. I don't know if I have. But
if this has given you something to think about while you're washing dishes or mowing your lawn or whatever, and then hopefully we can get some videos up of this.
Right. And, you know, please give us feedback. Ask the questions we didn't answer.
Yep. Yep. And you can email me at Mallory@sohere.com. I love to get your emails. It's fabulous to hear from you. You can also go to sohere.com/lovenote to sign up for our weekly newsletter that we put out
each
Tuesday.
That's one of the best things to do.
They're looking good, guys. I think they're a lot of fun. And we're on Instagram at ZD Sewing Studio. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening today.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.